One.
Blog Talk Radio.
Think. Think big. ThinkBigRadio.com for all of your realty, financial, business, and entertainment networking needs. Hello, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, one of your hosts today. I would like to thank you all for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. Have you spread the word today? Our host and also co-host today is none other than Mary the Encourager. How are you doing, Mary?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
That's great. We have a great guest on also, and our guest today is none other than Wendy Davis from the TV show Army Wives. Her character is Lieutenant Colonel Joanne Burton. Wendy, are you on?
I sure am.
Okay, well, before we get started, as customary, we just want everybody out there to know, how can they get in touch with you and find out more about you after the interview is over and during the interview?
Well, thank you so much for asking. If any listeners out there would like to contact me, they can contact me through my MySpace page, which is myspace.com/Wendy Davis Official.
Okay, so once again, for all of you guys out there, that's myspace.com/Wendy, that's W-E-N-D-Y, Davis, D-A-V-I-S, official. That's a pretty big word, but I think I might be able to handle it. O-F-F-I-C-I-A-L, Wendy Davis, official. So let's start off with letting everybody know about you. Tell us about yourself.
Okay, well, I'm a small town girl living in the big city. I'm originally from Joppatown, Maryland, which is it's a bedroom community just outside of Baltimore, Maryland. And I grew up there, kind of a, you know, Huck Finn lifestyle a little bit, catching frogs and things, climbing trees. It was wonderful. And upon graduating from high school, I went to Howard University, where I got bit by the acting bug. I fell in love with acting, and I graduated from Howard University with a degree in theater, and then I promptly moved to Los Angeles to begin my career. And oh, gosh, I'm not going to say how many years later, but after a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, I'm now doing a series, Army Wives. This is my fourth series. However, this has been the most popular one. So,
wow.
So now I'm doing Army Wives.
So what I have to say is that when you decided that was what you wanted to do, you basically just said, you know what, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go to the Mecca of where actors are discovered and take up my craft and just do what you needed to do to be able to get out there.
Right. And, you know, actors aren't really discovered. I think that's a misconception.
Okay.
I think actors are, you know, you create yourself. You know, it's really about putting in the work and then putting yourself in the right place where you can be, where your work can be seen. You can be an incredible actor, but if you're, you know, if you're working in small town USA and you really hope to, you know, hit the major market, you've got to move to New York or LA. There's just no way around that. So, you know, there are no accidents. I really don't know anyone professionally who, nobody gets lucky in this town, really. You know, what there is just a lot of hard work, and then opportunities happen, and that's what's considered luckier. So no discoveries, just hard work, meeting up with opportunities.
Now, Wendy, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. We're going to come back a little bit to some of the other shows that you've been a part of, and talk about those. But I'm hearing you talk about your passion, and you talked about it in terms of in college. Did you have a passion for acting before college?
I really didn't. I really thought that I was going to be a veterinarian. That was my first love. I was always picking up stray animals and hiding them in my closet. It was just, and it got so bad that my parents had to take the door off of my bedroom door off. And my closet door is off so that I wouldn't have, you know, have any kittens stashed under the shoes. So I was, like, on my way to being a veterinarian or something having to do with animals. And I did a high school play that I really liked. But then, you know, I really, you know, I ended up, you know, just sort of checking out the drama school. I thought everyone there was kind of weird but cool. And I did one play in college and said, this is what I'm born to do. And, you know, so that's how it all started. And one thing I must say, you know, my parents have always been extremely supportive. My parents have never said to me, you can't do that. And I think that that was a big part of, that has been a big part of my success, even as a young woman. I could say to them, Mom, Dad, you know, I'm thinking about creating a spaceship to go to Mars. They would support me in that. And so I never had it like it was a crazy idea for me to be this small-town girl from Joppatowne, Maryland, who wanted to become, you know, an actress in film and television. Because if I said, this is what I'd like to try, my parents always supported me, and I really feel that's a huge part of my success. There was never a you can't do that coming from them.
Wow.
So when I hear you talk about, you know, not being discovered but creating yourself and putting yourself in the right place to be seen, it sounds like you really grew up in that kind of environment of having that support and knowing that. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, and knowing that you had someone who was backing you and you could be able to take a few risks, would you say that they were some of your early partners?
Oh, big time. And I have to say, you know, it was, you know, because my parents were so supportive, it gave me the strength and it gave me the courage to try harder, to risk more, because I knew deep down inside that all I had to do was get back to Joppatowne and I was safe, right? Like if everything fell apart, I just needed to, you know, pull together $200 and get back to Maryland and I was safe. So that
was
the,
right.
Yeah, it was, so in having that kind of backup, so to speak, you know, it gave me the courage to really try harder and to risk more. You know, I wasn't afraid of failure because I knew that if I failed, then my parents were going to catch me. So,
and then you still had some other things that you could have fallen back on because of your education and training and your other passion, which is animals. Do you have any animals now?
Oh, Lord. I have two cats. And, you know, my girlfriend said to me the other day, one more cat and you're officially a cat lady. So,
oh, my God.
So I probably won't get any more cats. But I've owned a horse and dogs and hamsters and gerbils, fish, you name it. I've had them all.
Well, you know what I like is the fact that when we talk to big thinkers, there seems to be some parallels most of the time when we're talking with people. And I know when I hear you, I think about myself in this role. It was something that just happened to come up through some conversations with some people that I didn't know. But when I started as a host, I started to feel like this is where I could have been all my life. But I can relate to what you're saying because my background is in finance. So if nothing didn't work, if this didn't work out, that's fine too because I still have something. And I think many more of our young people and our older people would probably risk more if they realized you have something that you can fall back on, and then just shoot for the stars.
Absolutely.
That's kind of what I hear. Yeah.
And really what there is, you know, to fully commit. That's very important.
That's
you've got to, once you set your sights on something, you've got to fully commit to it, because until there is that full commitment, there's always that hesitancy, always that holding back, you know, playing it safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, playing it safe never got, you know, anyone anywhere that I know of. I mean, if you look at all the people that are very successful in business and career and in, you know, even athletes, you know, who are the rainmakers? They're the people who are out there playing hard and taking big risks.
Yeah. Now, we have a caller on the line, so I'm going to pause our questions for a moment and see if I can get our caller. Caller in the 703 area code, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Would you tell us your first name and maybe go ahead with whatever your question or comment is for Mindy Davis?
Hi, I'm Sparkle. Ms. Davis, I adore you. I love your show, and your success is testimony to your discipline, determination, and perseverance. Just, I mean, I adore you. I just want to start off by saying that.
Thank you.
And the life you bring to your character, it's, oh, my goodness. I hated your husband, but I still loved him because you did, you know?
I know. Can you believe that, dude? I know. And, you know, I tease him about that all the time because, you know, Sterling Brown, who plays my husband, Sterling Brown is his name, and he's married and just a really great person. And the cast, we used to tease him about, you know, the way that his character was going on the show, and he actually would kind of take it kind of hard, like, so he's such a great guy that he couldn't even take a little ribbing about his character.
Wow.
Cheating.
Carla, where are you calling from? The 703 area code.
Yeah, I'm Herndon, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Herndon,
we're close.
Virginia, near Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Well, my question, well, I actually had two questions. Actually, I'm sorry, I don't mean to take up so much time, but with the industry being as tough as it is, I know that you had to have some really, like, hard, discouraging moments. And what did you tell yourself? I know you said that you had that safety net, but I know that it has to be more than that. What did you tell yourself? For those of us who are trying to follow in your footsteps and sometimes are questioning that maybe this dream is just that, a dream, what would you tell us to keep us going? Like, what did you do?
Oh, that's such a great question. What is your name again?
Sparkle.
Sparkle. Okay, great. So first thing I would invite you to do, Sparkle, is to be careful with your languaging, because if you say that it's tough, then it will be tough, and you will relate to it as being tough.
Okay.
So for me, I always saw it as challenging, which, you know, makes life more exciting. You know, there are always going to be discouraging moments. However, you know, there's a great saying out there, which is, it doesn't matter that you fall, because you will. What matters is how fast you get up.
Mm-hmm.
And because, look, you know, it is a challenging business. However, you can be successful. I mean, I have many, many very successful friends who are actors, and no one came here with any kind of, you know, hookups. No, you know, nobody's related to Spielberg. you know, everyone kind of just moved here from whatever, you know, small town USA they came from, and they just put in the work, and they were committed and focused, and they didn't let those challenges get in the way. And always, when you bump up against a challenge, you can always begin to look at what is your particular hand, or how can you adjust so that you can overcome the challenge, instead of saying, because there's a million things out there that you can say, that there's lots of women, that there's lots of, you know, I mean, there's, you know, you're too tall, you're too short. There's always going to be a million circumstances that are going to,
mm-hmm.
that some people buy for why they shouldn't make it. But if you look at what you can do to create your future, you know, always be accountable for yourself and your work, and then the rest will fall into place.
Wendy, I have one question for Sparkle. Sparkle, what are your aspirations, really quick?
I would love to be an actress.
Wow.
I think parents would love for me to work for the VA Veterans Affairs, which I wouldn't mind doing. I think it's very noble, and I love that aspect also. But my dream would be to get messages across to people on the screen.
Well, you can also be an actress who works at a VA hospital.
Mm.
That was just to interject something funny. I guess it didn't really work.
Gotta work on that stand-up, Big.
Yeah. Okay, but so what was your next question?
Well, I was just going to ask her, like, I love what you do so much, and I just can't wait to see what's coming next from you. What haven't you done so far in your career that you would love to do?
Well, okay, so there's three things that are slated for me that I have no idea how they're going to happen, but I've already, you know, put them on my future map, so to speak. So the first is an Emmy.
Okay.
And we really played the Emmy game this year. I didn't get nominated for Golden Globe Awards, so which means the chances of getting nominated for an Emmy are very slim. However, I'm playing for an Emmy this year, so one goal is an Emmy Award. Mm-hmm. Another goal is I would like to work with Denzel Washington and Will Smith.
Me too. Oh, I'm sorry. It's your interview.
Exactly. And actually, this year, I was the closest that I came to it. I actually auditioned for The Great Debaters to play his wife, and a good friend of mine got that part. But I was, you know, in the running for that part for a time. And then the third thing that I'd like to do is I'd like to do a Western. Because obviously I love animals and horses, and I'm an incredible horsewoman, and I grew up watching Westerns with my dad, so it's kind of a tribute to my dad. So I don't know how those three things are going to happen, but that's what I'm working towards.
Now let me say something here, because some people may not know you other than Army-wise. But
mm-hmm.
I know, and I pull some of this from your site, and I've seen you in some things, but I know you played a detective in Easy Street.
Mm-hmm.
You were on the new WKRP in Cincinnati.
That's right.
In Our Lives, in Rendezvous. You played in Mother Ghost. I didn't see that. But I also see that you had some parts in, I saw you in Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
You were in Commander-in-Chief.
Yeah.
I saw you in The District.
Yeah.
I didn't see you in the Gregory Hines show, but I understand you were there. I saw you in Martin.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe
yes.
I should tell people why I know, because I always get those calls from your parents saying, guess what Wendy's going to be
in? I know.
Yes,
for
I
those
know.
Of you who don't know, Mary is a close family friend, so she's on the hotline list whenever I'm on TV.
But what you don't know, Wendy, is then I have a list of at least 10 or 15 folks, and I'm immediately calling them saying, you got to turn to this channel and see Wendy. But you know what I like is what you said is your future, and you spoke your future in such a way that I don't know about you, Sparkle and Big, but I can see it right now. Can't you see the Emmy?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And one of the things that she said that a lot of people need to take into account is it's exactly the words that you use. You have to be very careful with your words because you speak that into being. And I'm sure that she's not being careful with that word, and it'll come.
That's right. Well, you know, I mean, it just goes back to, you know, it says that, you know, in the Bible it says that God created, God created man in the image of God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And God, in Genesis, God says, you know, let there be light. God speaks.
True.
And his word is law. And so because man is created in the image of God, our word is law, too. So you create your, you say something, that's actually what you're creating, because that's the way God set it up. But what most of us don't get is that that's how it's been set up. We say things all the time that don't, we say things that don't mean anything to us and then don't mean anything to other people. But if you say things and they're concrete, then things begin to line up. So things begin to line up. Whatever you say is created.
Right. I surely try to live by that, but I do find myself stumbling sometimes, especially if I get very emotionally involved in something and I want it to happen the way I want it, but I'm always brought back to the fact that what I have to speak is what I want and not what I don't want.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Speaking what I want. I can't say I want to have an Emmy or I don't want to not get an Emmy. I've got to want the Emmy.
Yeah.
I've got to want it. And when Sparkle was talking, it made me think about something. I don't know if this happened with you, but I know that I tended in my career, even in finance, to be the one that would be chosen to lead the training class or to be the MC or to be the one who would speak, because, you know, a lot of times you think of us accountants and financial people as the quiet folks that are sitting in the corner doing the numbers. But
yep.
Even in my profession, my heart must have been able to show itself and that people would recognize the fact that I wasn't afraid of speaking up. So I just see, I hope that she's still listening and that she can see that no matter where she goes, if she allows it, her passion will come forth, and she has to take those risks you talked about in order to make it into the big dream that she really wants.
That's
yeah,
right.
And also commitment. You know, there's
that commitment.
It's that 100% focus and commitment. You know, I get that her parents want her to take on something else, and that's just because they love her and they want to protect her. You know, they've heard the horror stories too.
Mm-hmm.
But without that commitment, there's always just enough resistance from you from really taking the big steps that are necessary.
Well, Wendy, let's go on then. What are your plans to expand? You've talked about your future, and I know that you're doing some other things now. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing when you were not doing some of these roles that we've heard about?
Well, it's so great that you talked about, you know, taking on a leadership role in your career. You know, even when I wasn't doing Army-wise, I did High Incident, which was a great show, which was created by Steven Spielberg. Cast was handpicked by Steven, and nobody watched it except you and my parents, Mary. Easy Street, same deal. You know, Paul Haggis, who is the Academy Award-winning writer-director for Crash, had created a series called Easy Streets, critically acclaimed. Nobody watched it. So there were many years that, you know, I would do these great projects and nothing would come of these projects. And so I said to myself, like, what am I, you know, how am I going to make a living here, right? So I actually created an acting school. It's called the Los Angeles Actors Center because this is what I do best.
Wow.
And so it was a way for me to continue to grow and strengthen my own instrument while supporting other people, while supporting other young actors. And it became, you know, my second home. And I learned so much from teaching other actors, and I just enjoyed every moment of it. So the Los Angeles Actors Center is still going, still running. I have several instructors, and, you know, when I'm in Charleston, it's still up and going, but I still I go back and I teach. When I have an opportunity, I taught a couple of classes this past fall, and I'm planning to teach during the writer's strike that's going on. So I'm planning to teach a couple of classes this January.
So you started this actors Center?
Yeah, the Los Angeles Actors Center.
Awesome.
And it's the losangelesactorscenter.com for anyone who wants to go and check out the website. Yeah, I started it because, you know, again, it's about being focused and intentional. You know, if I were to take a job, this is the thing that I've developed myself. This is the skill that I've developed since college. So if I were to take a job doing something else, that's really going to pull me away from or pull my focus from, you know, my intention of being, you know, a working film and television actress. And so, of course, I created something that was going to support that intention.
Okay. So I heard you say be focused and intentional, and I know that I have a friend who talks about focusing on one course until successful. And what I hear you saying is you can be focusing on one course, but it doesn't mean you're only doing one thing.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the thing about it is you really have to be careful not to get attached to how you think it should go down. Right?
Okay.
Because, yeah, exactly. You know, if you start a business, you know, and you say, well, in a year from now, I plan to be making $30,000 a month. And let's say, you know, you're still in the red, you know, within a year. You know, what you can do is take a look at where you're falling short. It's really something, if that business can create $30,000 a month, and you need to take a look at your operation and what is lacking or what's missing in your operation and make the adjustment to get you closer to your financial goals. So that's a big thing because you can get discouraged if you set this goal for yourself and you don't reach that goal within your time frame.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Before we go further, can you again give us the information so that our listeners may be able to reach you?
Sure. Your listeners can reach me at myspace.com, Wendy Davis Official.
Great.
Okay, that's myspace.com/Wendy Davis Official.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Wendy, for those listeners that may have just clicked in, you are currently going into the second season of a television show called Army Wives. And on that show, you are portraying a character, Lieutenant Colonel Joan Burton. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. You know, one of the comments I saw that you had written was that you admired the show, the writers of the show, because it gave an opportunity for unsung heroes to be discussed or portrayed. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. You know, I've done a lot of television shows, but Army Wives to me has been the most special to me, primarily because there are real people out there that we represent, and it is so important to us to represent them well. You know, most people, when we think about our soldiers going off to war, we don't think about the family that they leave behind. We think about them and the hardships that they are going through, and they are going through many hardships. However, the unsung heroes that I'm speaking of are the families that are left behind, and primarily the spouses who are, you know, holding down the fort. And so what I really love about Army Wives is it really tells the stories of these courageous people. And I think that's why it's such a big hit. In my particular case, I love the character that I'm playing currently, Joan Burton, Lieutenant Colonel Joan Burton, because she is a high-ranking female officer, and she is dealing with the challenges of, you know, trying to maintain a marriage and also having this high-powered career. How do you do that? You know, usually it's one or the other. And so she's really struggling with, you know, the idea of family and struggling with trying to keep her marriage on track and struggling with, you know, being taken seriously as a lieutenant colonel. I mean, she's an African-American woman in a sea of,
a male-dominated industry,
yeah,
for one.
Particularly,
yeah,
you know, white men. So, you know, who does she have to be? She's got twice as good.
Wendy, if they wanted to tune in to your show, what would be the best times and the station for them to reach it, to see you, your skills and everything?
Yeah, well, I tell you, right now we are, our first season has run. There's going to be the DVD series is going to be coming out, I believe, in February.
All right.
Okay.
And, yeah, and that's going to be offered by Lifetime Television, as well as you can go to LifetimeTV.com and you can see, I believe they have episodes still up on LifetimeTV.com. And if you go to YouTube, believe it or not, there are all kinds of clips. And, I mean, you could practically watch the whole series on YouTube.
Wow.
I mean, I did the other day. It was really like, wow. But if you go to Lifetime.com, you could probably watch the episodes there.
Now, for our guests, if you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 718-664-9989. That's 718-664-9989. And you can also listen live at thinkbigradio.com. That's thinkbigradio.com. Just hit the refresh button, and you'll be able to click to listen live to Wendy Davis.
Now, Wendy, I have really been inspired with what we've talked about so far. You just exemplify the type of person that we want to have on the program. And I know that this is going to be a program that, as people listen to it in live or in the archive, they'll want to tell other people about it. I know for me, one of the things you said early on just really stuck with me, and that is that we're not discovered, but you create yourself. In fact, mm-hmm, it seems to me we have to discover our own selves.
That's right.
Instead of
exactly
waiting for other people to discover us.
That's right. Absolutely.
And as I listen to you also, and you talk about, you know, those future plans, but I also heard you say one of the things that led to you having the strength and the courage to risk more was because you knew that even if it didn't work out, you had a place to go. And I read a little booklet talking about you need to know before you start a project when you're going to quit, or, you know, what would be the, you know, just basically how would you end if you had to end. And you really have given me a new way of looking at that. It's sort of like in the old days we felt like, well, I can always go home, but
right,
I can always come back to myself. And sometimes we, you know, that might mean having already developed or continuing to develop another sideline if we're in a profession that's not quite as consistent,
mm-hmm,
but giving ourselves some room. You have any comments on that?
I think the biggest thing is that when you are deciding on a profession, the primary factor is that it should be something that you enjoy doing. It really should, because you're going to spend your life doing it. So if you don't enjoy it, if you don't get something out of it, you know, like this radio show that you guys are doing, I'm sure you get so much out of it because you get to contribute to people. You know, it's a fulfilling career. Then it will be very challenging to stay focused in something that if you go after the money, I say go after the money, but go after the money in a way that inspires you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing, because you'll work a lot harder, you'll go a lot further if you're passionate about, you know, whatever you create.
Okay.
In terms of your career.
Is there anything you would like to cover that we haven't touched on?
No.
I think we
hit the big points, right? Focus and, you know, as you said, discover yourself. And, again, I want to mention, you know, when I got Army Wives, this is about not being so locked into how it's going to look when it happens. You know, when I got Army Wives, you know, there's an expiration date. There's a story out there. There's a saying out there in Hollywood that there's an expiration date on, you know, an actor. You know, if you don't hit by this time, then it's over.
Wow.
And I was, you know, I was in that category. I was, you know, known as a good actor who, you know, wasn't famous. And if ever Vivica Fox or Nia Long or Sanaa Lathan were unavailable, then they might call me. It was kind of like that, right?
Okay.
Only problem is those girls aren't that busy, right? And so there was a belief out there that it was over for me. And the only person who didn't buy that was me.
Okay.
And so I tell that story because, look, if I could have chosen, I would have chosen for Army Wives to, you know, be a hit 15 years ago. However, you know, all of those challenges that I and obstacles that I overcame really made me a stronger person, much more compassionate person and actor. And it was just, you know, not giving up, just staying in the game when everyone else said, "Are you sure you want to stay there?"
You know, what you just told remind me of a certain star who has reinvented himself many times, and we all know him as the captain of Star Trek.
Oh yeah,
you know, and
absolutely.
I don't believe in that, like, A list, B list. It's all on who you are, just as you're saying. Because I know that you're going on to bigger and better things, and I'm honored to and very appreciative of having you on our show. You know, helping people and letting people know that, you know, with your positive, you know, big thinking words, that, you know, set your goal and then go after it. Don't half step and make it happen. And that's what a lot of young people and older people need to hear from someone who's, you know, actually in the industry, actually doing things, and still is setting higher goals for themselves.
Absolutely. And you broke down that interview in like, what, 30 seconds?
No, don't say that.
That's pretty good. That's exactly what I meant to say, too. So thank you.
I want to ask you this, Wendy. We really only have a few minutes left, and you might think I should have asked this early on. But let me ask you, you know, with all that you've been through, when something comes up, do you still have to go and apply for it just like anybody else? You still have to go and audition or
Sure, absolutely. I mean, that was the case with the Great Debaters, you know. You know, it's just a part of, you know, I don't see it as being insulting at all. I love to audition. And I love to audition because I actually chose to love auditioning. If you don't choose it, right?
Okay.
I mean, it would really suck if I had to go into auditions and I hated auditions, right? So I actually chose early on that this was going to be something that I actually loved to do. So any opportunity that I get to audition, you know, I've had an opportunity to read with Denzel. I've had an opportunity to read with Don Cheadle. I mean, it's you know, magic for me. So
wow.
Yeah, I still go in, and I love to do it.
and not only that, just the networking capabilities by them seeing you, that, you know, sometimes they'll be like, you know what, where's Wendy? Let's just get Wendy in. I remember her.
One day, Denzel is going to be working on a Western, and I'm going to be the only girl who knows how to really ride a horse, right? They're going to say, we need Wendy Davis.
I love your approach, Wendy. You are just the epitome of thinking big, because I know that there are so many people who would think about an audition as something that they hate to do. I just got to get through this. Or someone who feels like, I've made it, I'm too big for that, I don't need that. And the way you just approached it just makes such a difference on how we tackle anything in our life.
Absolutely.
Oh, gosh, I just love that. I just love it.
I had someone said something really great to me once, and they said, choose what you've got, right?
Yes.
So if you're a single mom,
mm-hmm.
choose it. If you're a single mom, instead of, you know, complaining about it, which I'm a single mom, instead of complaining about it, what there is to do is to choose it. You know, instead of complaining about the audition process, choose it. Because then in that choosing, you know, then you can get profoundly related to it and actually start to love it. And it makes a difference in the quality of life, I believe.
Well, we're down to the last few minutes, and I want to ask you, who would you like to thank?
Well, I, of course, would like to thank my parents. I mean, you know, there's no me without them, and that's the truth. I am everything that I am because of my parents. And, you know, I can't, words cannot express how much I love them and how grateful I am to them for teaching me that I can do anything, and they taught me that, and I believed them. What can I say? You know, so that's who I would like to thank.
Okay. Well, we're in our closing minutes, and I could think of many, many more questions, but I'm going to just kind of wrap it up by asking, can we look forward to hearing from you again sometime?
Absolutely. Well, you know, we are looking forward to going back to shooting the second season of Army Wives. And as soon as the writer's strike is over, we were scheduled to go back in November. But once the writer's strike is over, we're going back to shoot 19 episodes.
Wow.
And my character, as you know, she's a lieutenant colonel, and she's pregnant, for those of you who saw the final episode. So it's going to be so juicy, the challenges and the roadblocks and the things that she has to deal with. So I can't wait. So forward to that.
We may try to wait until you've gotten through some of your episodes. But I think Big and I and the other co-hosts, we're going to have to come together and decide what is our Emmy, so we can follow in your footsteps.
That's right. That's
work toward our Emmy for our program as well. Do you have any last comments, Big? We're down to the last few seconds.
Oh, no. I'm just glad that you were able to come on. You know, all of the Think Big family would really like to give our appreciation and thanks to you. Of course, if you know any big thinkers who may want to come on, send them right to thinkbigradiohost.com where they can get a guest invite link, and you know, we'll interview them and see if, you know, they'd actually like to come on the show. And I'm really just speechless. I mean, you have a great story. I like how, you know, it started off in like a small town, and you were just like a, you know, average tomboy, and then you went from there to, you know, not only one of the major cities in the U.S. but into pretty much all of our homes in just a short amount of time.
Well, thank you.
Well,
thank
you so much, Wendy. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, and I think that's the message I really want to get across to people, that, you know, you can do anything. It doesn't matter where you come from. What matters is where you're going.
All right. Thank you so much. And with that, I want to thank all of our listeners, thank our hosts. Thank you, Wendy Davis. We look forward to seeing you. We will be bowing from the stage with you as you claim those awards in the future. And, of course, we'll be there with you and Denzel and Will Smith and all the rest.
That's right. On my horse, right?
That's right. So thanks, everybody, and we look forward to having you tune in to us again. Thanks so much again for just being here with us. And there's no stopping you, so keep going and keep your head to the sky. All right. Good night.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Think big, everyone.
Us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. If we've never been held down before.